The Trader Cobb Crypto Show, talking business in blockchain.
G'day guys, and welcome to the Trader Cobb Crypto Show. Today I have got an amazing guest, someone you're going to listen to and learn a lot from. Now, I'm going to let him do his own introduction because it's going to be awesome, but it's Mark the Plumber.
Hey, Craig, how are you?
Great, mate, great, thank you. Tell us a bit about yourself, mate.
So, my name is Mark Hamadi, but my real name is Ghassan Ali Hamadi. I was born in 1974 in Beirut, Lebanon. I was raised by my grandmother. I've seen people get their heads blown off, people killed. Lebanon was a war zone then, but it's a beautiful, beautiful country. When I was born, the umbilical cord was tied around my head, and so I was born with one leg 5 inches shorter than the other. And when I immigrated from Lebanon to the U.S., I had surgery on that, Dr. Leon Root Hospital for Special Surgery, and they slowed down the growth. And after that, I ended up going into the Marines to give back to the country. Had to go through like 20, waivers to actually make it. But I'm probably, at the time, I was the only one who ever got accepted with that type of surgery. And so the name Mark came, I think, from watching like the Power Rangers or something. And it was because I was getting, you know, nowadays, Ghassan Ali Hamadi is a really cool name. And everybody wants to use that. But back then, nobody could understand what that was. So Mark helped. And, you know, I dealt with being bullied, being made fun of, all of that stuff. So I needed Mark. And I couldn't speak English. So I worked on my accent very hard to be able to enunciate really good. But my Arabic is much better than my English. And a lot of times I look all around. It's not because I don't want to look at the person. It's because I translate. Everything comes into my brain in Arabic and goes back into English. So that's kind of a little bit about my personal life. And along with that, I went to college at a Midwestern school, Washburn University. And I tell people, if you can get into an Ivy League, get into an Ivy League, because an Ivy League is important. And but I was lucky because I had to. I used my personality to be able to, get jobs. And so I worked first at a restaurant. I turned around a restaurant. I turned around a dealership. Then from that, I got into recruiting. I did two-year guarantees to help companies. Learned how to, I learned from recruiting. You learn about different companies. Really good. And if you're a true recruiter, you end up, because you can't place a person if you really don't know about their operations from the inside. And then from that, I was asked to come in as a HR officer, which I thought was exciting. When I became an HR officer, I realized that was human remains. So I became more of a people officer. And then from then, I ended up becoming a COO and a CEO, and then I turned around bankrupt companies, grew them. So I'm an operator. I'm a plumber is what I say. I like to... it's all about, my grandmother taught me two things. Well, she taught me a few things, actually. But one of the things she taught me is, she said, the most beautiful thing is the rainbow. And the rainbow comes in different colors and different sizes. And this is why I see things like a clear canvas. So I don't have any preconceived notions. I don't I don't think about racism, any of that stuff. So that allows you to really look at a company, look at anything clearly, and make changes to it. And she taught me that because after some shootings and so forth, we had kids with no arms, no legs, and I would look at them weird. And that put it that, hey, they're not any different.
They're just been through some stuff.
Yes. And I tell people, when somebody has Down syndrome or when they have that, they're not different. We're different.
Yeah.
Because, it's like, you know, a great diamond. You look at it and you're like, wow. And that's how those kids are. They have heightened skills. They're very, very special. And the special skills that they have, we don't have. And so we say they're different, but it's really us.
We're all different.
Yes, absolutely. And then the other thing she told me, she goes, you know, work and supporting your family is important. And that's why you want to do well for your family. And all the money that you make should be there for your family.
Yeah.
So she never once said, Mark, make some money so you can get a Rolls Royce or a private jet. The money should be the accessory of really, you know, supporting your family. And then it's all about creating jobs. So I look at it, if we create jobs, we build a company, you create a job, you end up helping that family, you end up helping those employees, their families, and that prospers the world. And so that's really my philosophy. And then the reason why I'm all about execution and working hard. I came second, it was maybe second grade or third grade, and I came to her and I was very happy. She took a ruler and she beat me on my knuckles really hard and I was crying. And she said, it's okay to come second, it's okay to come last, but you should never be happy. You should never be satisfied with that.
You want to come first, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you always want to try to come first. But if you worked your hardest and you did not come first, that's okay. But don't celebrate.
Don't be happy about that.
Yes, yes. Don't be happy with mediocrity.
Yeah.
You know? So that stuck with me. And then be very respectful and kind. And so I always say, you know, you need some money to do anything. You need to execute, but you need to keep the ego out.
Yeah.
Without an ego, you can pivot.
Yeah.
You know, and ego allows you to think clearly and you know, when you take it out and see things. So that's that. So along the way, after the Marines, I tore up my back. I ended up getting into a wheelchair because I couldn't move. And I could eat whatever I wanted before, and I would work out. So then I thought, you know, I'm not going to stay in the wheelchair, right? Well, that's where the ego comes in. I'll just keep eating.
Yeah.
5 pounds, 6 pounds. All of a sudden, I'm now 390 pounds in a wheelchair.
Wow.
You know? And so then I looked at it, and I'm like, let me see if I can just do a diet or whatever.
You're still working during this period.
Yes, yeah, yes, okay. Yes, yes. And people look at you differently, and it's a tough environment. And so I was very depressed, very sad. At one time, I was taking 16 Vicodins a day for every 4 hours. Yep. The FBI came to make sure that, you know, I wasn't selling them, right? Because it's a lot of narcotics. And I told them, absolutely not. Don't worry. I'm not going to sell this stuff. I need that stuff. I'm like, I'm taking a double gin and tonic or a White Russian with four. Yeah. And so then I realized, like, you know what, this isn't the life. And I need to find a way. And it's got to be a lifestyle change. So that's where I'm like, I can't rush it. I just got to do it slowly. Stop taking a stuff. And so I slowly did that. Did a lifestyle change, broccoli, steaks, things I'd like to eat. But I knew we're healthy and
just made
and that,
some shifts in your
yes,
life.
Yes, yes. Yeah? And now I changed also my positive attitude. So with the depression and everything, you're eating bad and so forth.
Yeah.
So then I finally said to myself, okay, you know what? It's okay to be in a wheelchair. I get front parking. I got the best places to go into to go watch ball games. Everybody gets, you know, when I'm shopping for groceries, I'm driving the little cart. You know, so there were some good things with that. So I'm like,
you look at the pot, you made the shifts, but you also shifted your mental.
Absolutely.
Your mindset.
Absolutely. And then I said to myself, when I get out of it, I need to be satisfied. So when we're on top, we need to be thankful and not say, well, this is what's wrong and I need this and blah, blah, blah. And when you're on the bottom, you need to be, you need to be really happy because when you're on the bottom, there's only one way. And it's up.
Yeah.
And when you're on top, you're going to come down a little bit.
Exactly.
So you need to be satisfied.
Mentally prepared for that.
Yes.
Know where you are. Peaks and troughs.
Yes. And the other piece of it that's, I think, so very, very important is there are a lot of people that are worse than us.
Yeah.
That are babies that have been beat, that have issues, that haven't had a chance.
Yeah.
So really be grateful.
Yeah.
And thankful. So I'm really grateful and thankful. And so... Along with that, you know, after I got that, I'm working hard. I'm an operator, turning around businesses. I love it. All is good, you know, but working so many hours, not sleeping.
Yeah.
You know, eating healthy and all of that, but just not sleeping. Well, then I got cancer.
Batteries go down.
Yes. So I got cancer, went to stage four, ended up having surgery, wow. Survived that. But what cancer taught me is, you know what? You can't take anything for granted, and you have to be balanced.
Yeah.
You cannot drive a Ferrari and not change the oil.
Yeah.
Okay? You cannot be in a plant and run a machine 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
You can't not clean your garbage disposal.
Yep.
Okay? So, same thing with our body.
Themselves. They look after their material items, but they don't look after the most important tool in their entire... It's themselves, right?
Yes. And if you don't care about yourself, that's okay. Care about your family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't want your grandmother crying all day long.
Yep.
You don't want your mom in depression.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to do it for yourself, do it for them, you know? And also there's, you know, people say, well, aren't you glad? But surviving cancer is a burden because there are people who have given more to this world and could give more that have died with cancer.
Yeah.
And so I'm thankful, and I take it, and I understand that. And there's a lot of people that are dying and dead, and they don't deserve to.
Yeah.
So we should be really thankful and happy and appreciate what we have. And so that's kind of been my whole ecosystem. And what I do to make sure everything stays, and this is advice I give to somebody.
How do you do that? How do you keep it all together? I mean, how much change have you had, dude? Like, from what, 300, was it 350 pounds?
390.
390 in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
To then going through that, bouncing back, getting cancer, bouncing back, having a successful company, building all these businesses, polishing them, fixing them, making them work. How do you actually continue to live healthily? And with, I mean, you've got to have balance now, right?
How do you
take yourself balanced?
Well, you know, it becomes hard, but you just have to do it. And you have to, you know, when I'm home, I'm barbecuing for my family, doing different things. It's hard with the phone and so forth. But, you know, every night I write down before I sleep what I did well today and what I didn't. So tonight, let's say I'll write down, okay, I did an interview with Craig and I did it because I wanted to make money off him. Okay, then tomorrow I would call you and say, hey, Craig, I was a jerk yesterday. That's what I was trying to do, you know? So you cannot change a habit or a problem a year later. A year later, I can't tell you I've been a jerk to you for a year.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. But you can do it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
If you do it every day, it doesn't grow. It doesn't magnify to a problem.
Yeah.
Okay? So you drink 10 tequila shots today.
Yeah.
Tonight you write down, I drank 10 tequila shots. That's not good. I didn't call my mom. You can fix it tomorrow.
Tomorrow, right?
Absolutely.
Maybe after midday.
Right. But that's a simple repair that you can do.
Yeah.
But
it's awareness.
Yes.
It's awareness.
Yes. But doing it every quarter, doing it weekly, it doesn't work.
So here's something for me. Like, since I was 18, I used to, every month, I'd write down, get a nice little spot there, the house that I was living in at the time, and I would write. I didn't know what I was going to write. I'd just start writing. And it would generally end up becoming something that was what I did well that month, what I didn't do well that month. Somehow that would then merge together, and I would write a song about it. I'd play guitar, and I'd make a song out of it. And when I'd sing that song, it was just like the feeling of ease and comfort that I would have after. It was almost like I'd let go of... I'd cleansed myself because I'd let myself go. I'd written it down. I'd made it into music. And I was just, it got me to a point where I was like, yeah, we can move on now. But I knew what I'd done well. So I'm like, my whole focus was do what you did well. Continue to do that. What did you do not well? Well, let's try and avoid that. Let's try and cut it out entirely because you've got to be realistic. It's a work in progress. It takes time to perfect yourself and to grow. And things change. Like life changes.
Yep.
Things happen, you know. But you've managed to find a way to do that. I spoke to you before we hit record here. I've got chronic fatigue syndrome. And, you know, for me, it's been the last sort of 19 months has been an incredible self-discovery journey that I've been on, and I continue to be on it because, you know, just recently I had a crash again, and it's sometimes it's not until you get hit by, say, cancer or fatigue or something else, or a member of your family dies or something like that, that you actually stop and take wind of what's actually going on. And people should be doing that very frequently.
Absolutely. And look, it even goes worse. Even me, I'm now positive, I'm excited.
And fit.
Yes,
well done.
And I'm really
well
fit.
Done.
But what you guys don't know, and I'll tell you now, is I have a a 14 millimeter disc that's enlarged in my back. I have pain right here, and I need to have back surgery. And I went to the doctor, a couple of spine surgeons, and they said, your back isn't good enough to have back surgery.
Oh.
So now I have to figure out what I need to do and how. And so, but it's been tough. It's this, it's that, right? But at the end of the day, it's easy to say everything I said after you fixed it.
Yeah.
But it's when you're going through another thing.
Yeah.
And so now I'm pushing myself. I'm still work doing everything and, you know, extra.
You're not going too, but you know not to go too hard now, right?
Yes.
You know the results of pushing too hard.
Well, absolutely. You have to, look, you have to do it right. And sometimes you can still hurt yourself by not pushing hard, pushing the wrong way.
Yeah.
It's all about the right way.
Balance, right?
Right. I mean, so if you, I forgot her name, but Molly, she was a skier. I forgot her name, but it was Molly's game. She did the poker stuff, but she was a skier. She went down, was gonna like win the Olympics, but and there was like a piece of not rock,
something sticking up or something.
Yes,
a twig or something. Like
a twig,
a root,
and it hit her ski, and boom! They said it's like 1 in 100 million, and she got disqualified. And oh. She would have had the record in Colorado, you know?
Just one of those things.
Exactly. And so again, it's about doing the program that fits you.
Yeah.
And works properly with you. And you look at like Samir Banoot, Mr. Olympia 1983, he's never been injured. We can't look at Michael Phelps and say...
No, we can't compare ourselves to others.
No.
You've got to be the best version of self.
Exactly.
Now, I talk about this a lot on the show and all my teachings and everything I do. I'm a massive fan of Eckhart Tolle, or however.
Uh-huh.
Do you know Eckhart, or The Power of Now? Man, that is amazing. He brings you back. He gives this thing called perspective. And I think a lot of people fail to have perspective. And again, it comes back to that self-awareness. If you can use perspective and understand what's going on, you can actually start to be more introverted. Like look into yourself is what I'm trying to say. And if you can do that, you take the time and take that breath, you learn.
Well, the only way to me you can look into yourself is you have to get the ego out.
Yeah.
You know, and people say ego can be good. No, confidence is good.
There's a difference.
Exactly.
Right? Confidence, cockiness, and ego.
Yes.
Three types.
You got to get the ego out.
Arrogance is bad.
Yes. If you get the ego out, you're not going to have arrogance. You're not going to have cockiness. Then you really, you know, I look at it. I won a ton of awards and blah, blah, blah. I took them all and incinerated them. My award to me is when an employee or a friend or you or somebody says, you know what, Mark gave me value. Or Mark was the best, you know, HR officer we've ever had. Or, you know, it's what people think of you.
Yeah.
That's the award.
Yeah.
Not how many Twitter followers you have. Yeah. not how many selfies you've made.
Yeah.
Not how many, you know, all these awards are all manufactured.
Yeah.
Okay? Whether somebody referred you or this or that. It's meaningless. 30 under 30, 40 under 40. It's all bullshit.
Yep, yep.
You know, it's what a person, it's what does your wife think of you? What does your kid think of you? What is your
back to that family thing, right?
Yeah, that's what at the end of the day. So to me, the three most important words are I love you.
Yep.
And then I look at it from a holistic thing. Without people problems, you have no problems.
Yep.
So
true.
That's how you can solve anything, right? And I don't care if it's AI, if it's this, if it's that. You look at any company, any failure, anything, you can trace it to that.
Yep.
Even when people tell you, you know, look at the fund here that was $12 billion, that whatever. So, and doing good. You can still trace it to the founder and
yep.
what he was giving his son.
Decisions
you know,
were made.
Exactly.
By human
exactly.
beings.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. So, and you need to communicate how I communicate to you or how you communicate to me might be different to our friend or whatever. Because I can have the greatest idea, but if you don't believe it.
Yeah, it's
okay,
just an idea.
Yes, I have to be able to have the right idea to help you with your chronic problems,
yeah.
but I have to do it in a way that you buy in,
yeah.
that you're like, okay,
I'm on this.
I trust Mark.
I invest my time. Yeah.
I'm going to do it. Yep. Now, I tell people, if you do it and it doesn't work, then that's my problem, right? So the first problem is convincing you to do it.
Yeah.
And then it's an oh shit moment for me when you're doing it. If it doesn't work, it's a problem, right? So I worked with a person trying to lose 200 pounds. Oh, I don't want to do it. Just listen to me and just do it. Yep. Keep your mouth shut. Did it. Started losing weights. Been losing weights. Lost over 100. So when that happens, then people keep buying in.
Yeah.
So you have 30 days
results breeds. Well, success breeds success,
yes.
Right?
You have 30 days when you get into a company that's struggling to get people to buy in.
Yeah.
Okay? And to follow through.
That makes the change.
Yes. And follow through. And then it better work.
Yeah.
Right?
Because if not, then you take response.
Absolutely.
That's a big thing. So I think a lot of people fail to take responsibility. We hear it all the time. It's this person's fault. It's that person's fault. It's the software's fault.
Yeah.
I don't know a single successful person. And I'm just talking about wealth.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of successful people that aren't massively wealthy, but they're wonderfully happy all the time. And that, to me, is a true measure of real success, if you can be happy.
Well.
And they're just such, like... They all take responsibility, every single one.
Well, we have to define things differently, right? So if you're driving through a bad neighborhood, most people, the reaction is, let me lock my door.
Mm.
If you're running out of gas and you're in a poor neighborhood, you're locking your door, okay? But if you're in a rich neighborhood and you see somebody in a suit, you're not doing that.
No.
And the person in a suit could be worse than that, right? So I always look at this.
Perception.
First, are you a good human being?
Yep.
If the person is a good human being, they're my friend.
Yep.
If they're smart or a good listener, I may want to work with them or whatever. But being a good human being is the most important thing.
Yep.
If a person is not a good human being,
nothing else matters.
You cannot do a good deal with a bad person.
Yeah.
There's no such thing. It will haunt you. It will go bad. It will whatever. That's at the end of the day. So that's something that we forget. We see a suit, we see Ivy League, all of that. All of a sudden, oh, he's amazing.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. She's this. Oh.
Why?
Oh, you don't know. You don't know.
Exactly.
You don't know. You don't know. So I think that's, you know, that's very important. And then
powerful, man.
Absolutely. And then when you fire, then here's another thing when you're talking about blame or what you're thinking. So I always tell people, when I fired people, I would say, okay, if I'm hiring you now, and I told you, you know what? Hey, Craig, you're going to make a lot of money at this company. Or this company's going to grow. If you are greedy, you're going to want to work here because you're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
If you're not greedy and you're a hard worker, you're going to want to work here because we're going to have a good culture.
Yep.
So if you don't work hard, you didn't believe in me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't buy in.
Yep. So that's how I look at it. So whenever I get rid of an employee, I say, listen, you didn't believe in what I said because there's two reasons you'd work here, either for good culture or money.
Yep.
And you didn't for either or. So I failed as a leader to make you believe in that.
To bring something out of you.
Not you, right? Because even a mediocre employee, you can get the best out of them.
Yeah.
Right?
You said it, the best out of them.
Yep.
That's the differentiation, that not everybody can go and, you know, be Steve Jobs.
No.
Not everybody can, but everybody can work on being the best they can be, and good, great leaders can bring the best out of people.
And you know what? And people have asked me, you have a strong personality. I'm like, yes, but I'm a team player, and I don't need to be a leader. The only reason why I became a leader is because I didn't want to work for a moron. That's it. So I'll work for anybody.
Yeah.
I'll work for my Maltese dog, you know? As long as you're not, you know, leading me to drown.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not even about the leadership or that. It's about really getting things done to support everybody, so then it becomes fun.
Speaking of fun, speaking of support, look, I get where your head is, and I love it because that's the way that we operate as well. It's really good people make business fun. Bad people make it dangerous, not enjoyable, and it makes you sick. you make the choices of who you work with. And you also make the choices of where you work, what industry you work within. Now, we're here in Dubai this week for one reason. Well, I am. It's for the blockchain conference and whatnot. Now, given your background, given what you've been through, what you're doing, why is blockchain something that you're interested in? I mean, it must have, it's got it all tied together,
well,
I'm guessing.
Yeah, you know, so I'm passionate about a couple of things. I'm passionate about health.
Yep.
I'm passionate about people, right? Okay, so some people may not know this, but there's a, that sex trafficking and child trafficking is over $100 billion industry.
Whoa, I did not know that. I did not know that.
And what That's I'm talking horrible. About, you can go to Beverly Hills and you'll see kids and moms that have been trafficked just all around you. But they're too scared to say that they've been trafficked. Okay, so the block.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
It's pretty bad. So the trafficking thing is the blockchain can use that to be able to track the money.
Ah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, all right, because that's the way that you stop these sorts of things is going straight to the money, right?
Right, right, and you can, chain of custody, you can find it. The other thing with the currency, with the blockchain that can be used, like for manufacturing, you know, how many times have you dealt with something where somebody's like, well, Craig, it's not me, it's this person, or it's that person, and that you can add accountability to it. So there are a few things in our industry in the world that are broken.
Yes.
Real estate. If you are not a multimillionaire, you can't be part of a huge building.
Correct.
That's not fair. So with blockchain, you can allow people to invest.
It's a wonderful way to diversify a portfolio
absolutely.
On a global scale with a low budget if that's the way you want to roll.
You know, and you could use it from a security standpoint, ledger. You could use it to track things.
Yeah.
You could create a coin and back it with real estate if you're working with a doctor, for example, and he has services.
Yep.
You know, so that's where innovation becomes great, right? Another thing, think about cancer, for example, and doctors. It's fragmented. Yeah. And here's what I mean. You can go to six doctors right now and tell each one six different things, and they'll write six different things. And then if you don't know exactly what has worked, what hasn't worked, because too many things are going through.
And you might have forgotten stuff because I'm not a doctor.
Exactly, exactly. So imagine if we get everything together to where, okay, Mark, you have cancer. Okay, well, these are the 45 different things that can be done.
Let's work through them.
Exactly. Instead now,
Yellow Brick Road.
Instead now, I have to call you, hey, Craig, well, Mark, I have a good friend that's got a hospital in Mexico that does XYZ, Ozone and blah, blah, blah. And Pimo might say, hey, Mark, there's a hospital I know in Germany that does this.
It's all,
and I miss something.
How do you, and I mean, look, here's the other side of this. Like, I'm massive on that. I've actually invested in a project that does look at that sort of stuff on the blockchain because I am passionate about it. Consider this. I'm in Sydney, right? I live in Sydney, and now I'm in Dubai.
Yep.
If something goes wrong with me here, it's going to take them a goddamn long time to get any information, if they even get it, from my doctor at home, whereas if it was on the blockchain, my records.
Right.
Here, right now, they know how to treat it. If I had a pre-existing condition and wasn't wearing my thing or no one knew, it would be there because they would know. And right now, we don't have that.
Well, and here's the other problem.
It just seems ridiculous.
Not only that, the problem is people misdiagnose themselves. And so you look at, I told you my back, right?
Yeah.
So the pain I have is right here.
Yep, yep.
Now, the question that we don't know.
Where's it coming from?
Is it my disc?
Yep.
That's huge. Or is it the femoral nerve here?
Yeah.
The problem with the femoral nerve here, you can't see it under an MRI.
So you can't check it?
They can't check it. So we're going to do some...
So is that they have to go in?
Well, here's the problem, because there's so many nerves and so forth, right?
They're going to damage one to get to the other.
They could damage it, right? And then what you don't want to do is have surgery on here.
When that's not the spot.
Because back surgery is the worst.
Yeah.
And it could damage other discs.
Yeah.
And be...
Knock-on effect.
Oh, that's detrimental.
Yeah.
Right? So now what I'm going to try to have them do, either like an ultrasound or like some pinching or whatever, so they literally do not know.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's a problem. That's a big, big problem. So there's still things that we're dealing with. Now, what I'm hoping, if you think about the blockchain, once we figure that out, if there's a way that we can figure that out, they can put that and send it everywhere.
Yeah, and then it's everyone can benefit from it.
Exactly.
Okay, so you know, talking about the health records, I mean, I understand that, and again, coming back to your philosophy of helping people, that's what it does. It's not just about my records selfishly being accessible in a doctor's surgery in another country. It's also about the fact that we can share information, little things that we learn. Because right now, there's a lot of people that have a lot of ways to fix things, but we're not sharing that information as freely as we could be.
Absolutely.
And the blockchain allows us to do that if we can get it working properly. Now, this is a big if thing. So with blockchain, we know this technology is going to change the world.
Yep.
It's coming into business. It's coming into every single thing that we're looking at. It's coming in fast. There's a long way for it still to go.
Yep.
What's going to get the adoption up there? How are we going to get... I mean, we look at Goldman Sachs now. We look at Fidelity talking about the products. Business needs to invest in. You work with a lot of big business. What's the take? How do we get in and really get it mainstream?
You know, any answer I would give you, I think, would be a lie or bullshit because it's a guess.
Yeah.
But this is how
give
I'm.
Your opinion.
But this is how I'm going to give it. Let's look at something similar. And you know what's similar? Yoga and meditation.
Yeah. Okay.
Yoga and meditation. 10 years ago. If you told the company to put it in there, they said, absolutely not.
No.
It's costing my company this, that, whatever.
It's an additional cost we don't need. They don't see the additional benefit. Like
absolutely.
Yep.
And to some people, if you said, I'm going to go meditate or I'm going to go to Nepal.
I think
or,
you're a nut.
Yes. You are. Yeah. You know?
Hippie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, as people started getting grounded and feeling better and everybody started getting stressed.
Yeah.
It's changed. Now, people who don't meditate tell you they meditate.
Yes.
People who don't do yoga tell you you do yoga.
It's
right?
It's part of a cultural shift.
There are more meditation and yoga studios in cities than churches, or just as many, on every block.
That's
right.
That's good. It's good for people, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So now when we look at the blockchain, right, I think it's the same shift.
Yeah, okay.
As things start improving...
we'll see the benefit and the investment will come.
Yep. And people will do it. Right?
I like
it forces that.
I love an analogy, man. That was a cracker.
You know? So
I think it's great.
Because it's the same. And the reason why it's the same, what were people saying about blockchain and crypto or whatever?
Yeah. They're saying it's fraudulent. It's for drug dealers. It's for this. It's for that.
Yep.
Not many positives, that's for sure, but back in the day.
And that's how it was for yoga and meditation. You're like a witch. You know, you're not going to be hired.
He's nice, but he's just a bit weird.
Yeah.
You get that, right?
Yep. And now it's like everybody says it.
Yeah.
Everybody says
it. You're so right, though. You know, people say they meditate when they don't.
Yep. Everybody says it.
And I tell you what, if you don't, you should. Now, the thing is, meditation comes in many different shapes and sizes, too. For me, it used to be freediving. I used to be going down, and there's nothing more peaceful than being underwater with fish, and you can hear nothing but the tickering of the ocean. The ocean makes an amazing amount of noise, too, by the way. When you're underwater, it ticks and clicks, and you hear the whales. And that, for me, was a massive amount of meditation. Now I do Qigong, which is like a Tai Chi-type movement thing, which helps me with the fatigue. But there's got to be something that pushes that stress off, because today's society... it's stressful. No matter what you do, you've got to find a way to wash it.
I agreed. But I go back and look. I look at meditation in a different way. It's why are you doing it? So, for example, if you went off on your wife or if your chronic fatigue came or whatever, then it's not done properly.
It's a trigger, right?
If you're doing something, some form of meditation.
With an outcome in mind.
With an outcome. And the outcome's coming there.
Yeah.
Then yes.
Yeah.
And that could be, you know, I'll meditate 1 to 5 minutes every hour because I'm always like, just to calm me down.
High energy.
Just to calm me down.
Yeah.
Not because I'm mean or this or that. No, just for that. Do I need the calmness? It's not about do I need it or not, but I'm like, why not?
It's good.
Right? Yeah.
Nothing bad comes of a good
productivity. No. And it's good to be off your phone. Yeah. So now I turn off the phone in the evenings and so forth. And yeah, and you've just got to do that. And same with yoga. But like I said, working out is important. And you can meditate while you're working out, like when you're stretching.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's very true. And you know what the funny thing is? It's not really funny, to be honest, but the thing with people that work out, the most important thing is your pre-stretch, your post-stretch, or your rolling.
Yes, absolutely.
But many people miss that part. And that's where they get all locked up and stuck, and they don't release all that tension in their body.
Well, look.
Have you found that part of your journey?
Yes.
You work out a lot, obviously, clearly.
So stretching is very, very important to me. And look, here's the thing. When you go to work out, you need to really embrace it and not be in a rush to do it.
Yeah.
Okay? And again, it's like family. It's like anything. Anything you do, I've always said, either do it right or don't do it.
Yep. I'm with you on that.
If you're sleeping, sleep right. If you're going to be on Facebook, do it right.
Be efficient.
Exactly. No matter what it is. And you need to stretch. And the workout isn't the most important thing. Eating healthy is the most important thing.
Absolutely.
Then with that, you work out.
Yep.
And then you stretch, right? So I used to work out 2 to 3 hours a day. Wow. I didn't look as good. Now I work out 3 days a week, 4 days a week, 20 to 30 minutes is my workout, and the rest is stretching.
Efficiency?
Absolutely. 90% is how you eat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, with eating, I'll have a Coke once in a while or a Pepsi, you know, and I'll have like, you know, ice cream or whatever. So
80-20? 80% of the time you eat really well?
No. I wouldn't even say that. I wouldn't even put numbers. You know what I do? It's if I crave it, I'll do it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? Because you don't want to, you know, it's like...
Well, craving causes problems because it's something you feel like you have to have.
Well, yes and no. If you're able to truly crave for craving. I don't crave because I'm stressed.
Yeah.
I don't crave because I'm depressed.
Yep.
I don't crave because I'm this or that. It's just, okay, I see a Coke that's Mexico style. I'm going to crave it.
I want it.
Right? But sometimes I'll drink a quarter and then I'm done.
Yeah.
I won't force myself.
But you're also incredibly consistent, clearly, with the... But you must have an incredible routine, right?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily to the routine. I think it's your mindset. So my mindset is, okay, Mark, let's go have, a sundae. So we go to this place and the sundae is this big. Okay? If I have 3 spoonfuls and I'm satisfied, I won't eat the rest.
Walk away. You've got... And it's not a matter of... People feel like they're guilty because they're wasting it. No, you bought it for the pleasure of having
it. I told this young lady at an all-you-can-eat buffet. I went there. I had just a few different things.
Yep.
It was like $49. And she told her son, I want you to eat as much as you can, as many plates, blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay, look. I said, ma'am, if your son eats 10 plates and makes $400 for the food he eats...
Yep.
But then he has to go to the hospital and you spend $50,000.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the logical way of looking at it.
And you have to.
There's thinking short term and there's thinking long term. You're an operator. You think long term. You got to act short term, medium term.
Yes.
But you play for the long game.
Diets don't work. This is why it's a $60, $50 billion industry. Okay.
Yeah, if they worked, it'd be done.
none of that works. And the other thing that people don't realize that they need to realize is you can't force yourself not to do something. It won't last.
Yeah.
So if I force myself not to have that Coke, okay, then eventually I'm going to have like 10.
It builds and you can't. Yeah.
So feed your craving, but you're going to get full.
Yeah.
Stop. Okay? The problem is people do not stop.
Have the cookie, not the whole cookie jar.
Yeah. Now, if you want the whole cookie jar, okay. But after you have that, you won't want more. But the problem is, most of the time, you don't want the whole cookie jar. You force yourself to it.
Yeah.
And that's I don't understand that. You know, I don't understand that.
Hang on, but you must have been there. You've learned your way out of that. I mean, you got the 350 pounds by doing that.
Isn't that contradictory? No. Because, we talked about mindset. When I was doing that, I was eating because I'm bored.
And you were depressed.
I was eating because I'm depressed.
Yeah.
I'm drinking alcohol, yeah. Getting hungry.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a vicious cycle of feeding crap for crap.
Yep.
Have that crap, feel crap, so eat that crap to make yourself feel better, and you're on a crap cycle.
Yep.
Okay.
But I felt sick every time.
Yep.
I didn't want to eat it every time, right?
Yeah.
I felt horrible right after.
Yep.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no. But we do it. We do it unless we change that mindset.
Well, let me give you, here's a perfect example. When I was 390, how many supplement companies came to me and said, hey, Mark, please try our supplement. We'll give it to you free, and let's see how you do.
I would suggest a lot.
None.
None?
None.
Oh.
How many come to me now? Everybody.
Yeah. But is that because of the profile thing? I mean, it's obviously got...
No. I think because people want somebody who looks good to represent them.
And to say, I take this supplement. And the connotation is, I take this supplement, therefore I am this person.
Yes.
Because I was the person a long way before this supplement.
Exactly. So, you know, these bodybuilders, these guys, you know, Michael Phelps, did he win those because he's taking XYZ?
Yeah,
Did Tiger Woods because his golf club's Nike?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's messed up.
It's not the clubs, it's the golfer. It's not the scalpel, it's the surgeon.
You know?
Exactly.
So now, I will endorse a product if I use it and I love it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's called credibility and it makes perfect sense. So what is your, at the moment, I mean, look, what's your driving factor right now today? What gets you out of bed? What makes you happy? What are you doing?
Helping companies scale. So I'm on the board of a few blockchain companies and then, you know, so that's what I love, but I'm really an operator. So if there was a good company that wanted me to be like the president or CEO, I've had a few offers. You know, I have a fund also, but, you know, from a private equity fund perspective, that's not so much fun. You know, you're raising capital but I'm an operator by heart, right? So that's what I love. And it's working with people and helping grow something and solving problems, you know, but it's all about the fit and the fit with the people, right? And being needed. Everybody wants to feel needed,
yes.
Right? So there are, if it's a great company, that's everything's perfect. It's not for me.
You don't need it.
It might be for somebody else, yeah. Right?
So a babysitter.
So, yeah, and that's okay.
Yeah, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
No. Some need that, absolutely. Yeah. But on the other side, I tell companies, you know, when I have a bankrupt company comes to me and Mark, I need your help, and let me tell you, what my problem is. You don't know your problem.
That's why you're bankrupt.
You know exactly. if you, and another thing, and I've told big companies this, you cannot go into a company and just send out an email. You have to meet with every single one, even if it's 100,000 people.
Yeah.
You can't just meet with the lead. You have to touch them one way.
You want to lead?
You have to, because you know what? They haven't been paid. They haven't been this. They haven't been that.
You need, that's the fabric of the issue.
Otherwise, it won't work. And this is where big companies have poof.
Yeah.
Because
overnight.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It took me, I want to say, 9 years to lose the weight, to do the lifestyle change, and to get my head 100%. No yo-yoing, no anything. You know, there were times in the beginning, I would, every couple of days, go to McDonald's, order a lot,
yep.
Sit by the TV, eat it.
Smash it.
Then it was every week.
Yeah.
Okay? Then it was monthly. Then I would buy it, smell it, and throw it out.
Scaling out.
Yes. Yep. Now if I went and got French fries from McDonald's, I'll eat two and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's, you know, so it's hard and you can't do it fast and you can't. And this is why I talked about the cravings. If you're able to do that, then when you have a craving, you don't
act upon it instantly and in such an irrational
yes.
manner.
Yes.
And irresponsible.
Yes. And just like I ordered a Pepsi in front of you, what you don't do is you don't pretend you're perfect in front of
yeah, yeah, yeah.
somebody, and then when you're by yourself.
Well, yeah. Look, I mean, I'll tell you what, mate. I've really enjoyed talking with you. I mean, we're here at Blockchain Week, but that was gold. Guys, there is so much. So this is the stuff that I love, right? I get to meet amazing people. I get to have these conversations. I get to learn so much. I'm a young guy running a business.
Yep.
I get to learn this sort of stuff.
Yep.
And I'm just so pleased to have met you, Mark. And the amount of energy that you have, you're clearly passionate. You've been around the block. You're exceedingly successful. But you're also really humble, and you've got a very clear message about family, doing the right thing, and being the right person. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate meeting you.
And listen, for anybody who does want to know more about you and what you do, where do they find more information?
You can go to markhamadi.com, or you can email me at mark.hamadi@gmail.com. And Mark Hamadi is also on Telegram. Mark Hamadi, I've got it on WhatsApp. You can also go on Mark Hamadi on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, or you can talk to Craig and he'll give you my info.
We will have all of the information there for you, because you want to follow this guy. I do now, definitely, after meeting
him.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
From the bottom of my heart, I really honestly mean it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Guys, have a great day. Bye for now.
The Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast is hosted by Craig Cobb. All Trader Cobb courses, products, and tools can be found at tradercobb.com, because experience matters.